Jesus autem abscondit se et exhibit de templo. But Jesus hid himself and went out from the temple. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Very dear faithful, the first impression we receive when we enter a church today for Passion Sunday is a somber one, because almost all of the statues and crucifixes are veiled. The reason for this comes from our gospel for today. Over the last 4 weeks of Lent, we see from the Gospels that the enemies of our Lord were becoming more and more malicious, since they were unhappy at the increasing influence that our Lord had. Last Friday, we read about the resurrection of Lazarus. Since then, no doubt, the Pharisees sought to arrest and kill our Lord Jesus Christ. At the end of today's Gospel from St. John, we read that our Lord hid himself, as his time had not yet come. Since the liturgical season of Lent is so structured that we follow our Lord much more closely in the details of his experiences leading up to his passion and death, Holy Mother Church begins a period of mourning so that we can join him in his sufferings. From now on, until his arrest on Holy Thursday, all liturgies will take place in a somber atmosphere in which we commemorate our Lord approaching the moment of his crucifixion. She has us hide all images of our Lord and his saints from this day on. From this day, she will speak in her liturgies of the banners of the King, Vexilla Regis, the mystery of the cross, the vinegar, the bitterness, the staff, the nails, the lance which pierced his side, the day of his passion, the causes of his many sufferings, the derision of his enemies and their many traps. On Good Friday, the very day of the passion and death of our Lord, only the crucifixes will be unveiled. This unveiling of the crucifixes and all the images of saints in the church, or rather, this veiling of the crucifixes and all images of saints in the church is in many ways an intensification of our fasting, since now we fast with our eyes. Durandus of Mond, a bishop of the 12th century, explains that especially during his passion, our Lord veiled his divinity. It is a time to imprint into our hearts more deeply the fact of the humiliation of our Lord. This memory should help us in case we fall at this time. The liturgy further intensifies the suffering by suppressing in some parts of the divine office the short verse of praise to the Trinity, the Glory Be. During the Holy Triduum, the last 3 days before Easter, it will disappear entirely from the breviary. Such is the mystery of these next 2 weeks. God hides himself to evade the anger of men. We know that it is not because our Lord is afraid, but because his time, according to the scriptures, is not at hand. Let us look at today's gospel. In an attempt to understand how our Lord challenged the Pharisees directly with the truth. In the Gospel chosen for today's Mass, we see that the malice of the Pharisees over the last few weeks has grown to the point that they plot to kill him. They are irritated by our Lord and his influence over the people. They were much more comfortable with the status quo with the Romans because they enjoyed the power that they had over the people. As we read in the Gospels of the last few weeks, our Lord challenged them many times over their use of the law of God to satisfy their base desires. In today's Gospel, he challenges them about their incredulity. He points out to them that they do not believe him because they have turned away from the word of God. St. Gregory tells us that we can be badly disposed to the truth in three ways: by refusing to hear the words of God, by refusing to obey them even if we have heard them, and by accepting it joyfully, but returning to our past cares, pleasures, or sins when any trouble strikes us. Jesus was condemning the Pharisees of not being of God because they refused to accept his word, either physically or in their affections. Their indisposition to the word of God and hatred of Jesus is shown clearly by the way they called him a Samaritan and asked if he had a demon. We know that they hated the Samaritans, seeing them as heretics against the Jewish faith. A few days ago, we read of how they claimed that our Lord cast out demons by the prince of demons. Our Lord makes no response to being called a Samaritan, since he has come to call all men to the true faith, Jew and Gentile. He does defend himself against their insult that he had a demon by pointing out that in everything that he does, he honors his Father in heaven. In both his defense and the correction of the Pharisees, our Lord gives us a lesson for our growth in patience. It is true that he often spoke harshly to the Pharisees when he corrected them over a point of doctrine. But there is no record of our Lord speaking harshly in order to defend himself. He accepted their insults and defended himself by simply stating the truth. Ego demonium non habeo. I do not have a demon. Sed honorifico patrem meum. But I honor my Father. It is a lesson to us as well to maintain our calm when attacked by our neighbor and defend ourselves simply by speaking the truth. This way, we will not corrupt our ministry of correcting in a just manner and make it into a weapon of anger. Even though he had been insulted after offering a defense, our Lord continues his teaching and points out to the Jews that if any man keep my word, he will not see death. Here he gives us an example that when the malice of wickedness increases, it should not silence the speaker of the truth, but he should continue to do so in word and deed. Our Lord requires us to keep his word by faith in meditating on the word of God and by action in keeping his commandments. In return, he promises us eternal life. The result was that the Pharisees became enraged all the more. In claiming that our Lord was a liar, they stated the fact that Abraham, who kept the word of God, has been dead for a long time. They were unable to understand our Lord when he promised them eternal life, since they were already indisposed to hearing the truth. Moreover, consumed by their base desires, they could see that our Lord was speaking of a spiritual death that comes from those who stray from the word of God. Dom Guéranger points out that the Pharisees, who had studied the law and the prophets, should have known better than anyone by the words, deeds, and even miracles of our Lord that he was the Messiah who had come to save his people. In the Gospel of St. Matthew, we see that our Lord had already stated that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is a God of the living. Moreover, our Lord was careful in the words that he chose when he said that those who kept his word would not see death. This is different from tasting death, as the Pharisees misquoted him. Seeing death, as our Lord phrased his promise, is to experience it completely, tasting it, as the Pharisees misquoted him, is to share it in some way without dying. Effectively, our Lord was careful to say that even if we are imperfect and weak, as long as we are well disposed to keeping his word in faith and deeds, then he will help us get all the way to heaven. We may, by slips and falls, taste something of the death that he is speaking of. But by our repentance, he will make sure that we will not see it. By the darkness of their souls, our Lord's Pharisee interlocutors failed to recognize the Messiah, and therefore they could not accept that he is greater than Abraham, the first patriarch. However, our Lord makes it clear for them by pointing out that he does not glory in himself, but in his Father. Moreover, he states clearly that he knows the Father, and then uses the same words that God used when he spoke to Moses from the burning bush, by saying, "Before Abraham was, I am." Jesus was effectively declaring himself to be God. Since they believed that he had blasphemed, the Pharisees tried to stone him. It should be pointed out that our Lord hid himself for two reasons. First, as an example to us, to avoid those who persecute us, and because he had chosen the death on the cross, the most humiliating of deaths. As St. Gregory tells us, the truth is hidden from those who disdain to follow his words. Indeed, the truth shuns a mind that it does not find to be humble. Our Lord hid himself because it was fitting that he leave them, because they refused to accept correction and the truth. And as he had stated many times before, it was pertinent that he go to the Gentiles. In today's lesson, in the Office of Matins, St. Gregory exhorts us in these words, "If then, whosoever is of God hears God's words, and whosoever is not of him cannot hear his words, let each one ask himself if he, in the ear of his heart, hears God's words and understands whose words they are." The truth commands us to long for a fatherland in heaven, to bridle the lusts of the flesh, to turn away from the glory of the world, to seek no man's goods, and to give away our own. It is for this reason that St. Paul exhorts us to abandon our dead works and receive the graces of our Lord through the sacraments, to cleanse our consciences of dead works, to serve our Lord. After all, he offered himself up in sacrifice for us, so that we may have eternal life. Let us not hesitate to turn to Our Lady and to St. Joseph, so that if today we hear his voice, we will not harden our hearts, but hearken to him, he who brings the words of eternal life. O Mary, help of Christians, pray for us. St. Joseph, protector of Holy Church, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.